Aloha, welcome back to the Ohana Packers Edition podcast, the podcast where I'm joined by Brian Moffey today to go start going over draft positions for the Green Bay Packers. Brian, of course, is just started his YouTube page, The Packer Way, which will go in depth into draft prospects, team roster construction, and anything general Green Bay Packers. He's also co-host of the Go Dads Go podcast with Robin Adams and Gilbert Brown, and he's also a ATV draft writer and contributor, and is an owner of his own draft database, and is a very good source of information on not just prospects that Green Bay might be interested in, but honestly the why of why Green Bay would or wouldn't be interested in a prospect. So Brian, anything that I haven't covered about you or anything that you feel like needs to get pointed out about your expertise on Packers draft prospects board and stuff like that?
No, that's fine. I mean, I'm also on the guy. I saw the other day, I'm also doing the Cheesehead TV draft guide again this year, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
Right on. So I'm under strict marching orders to not go over all of the draft positions. Jogu goes, you know, I'm not there with you two, so you two need to keep on target. But no,
that's because he knows us.
Yeah, I know, right? Lord knows that if we didn't have work restriction, the two of us would just go on for the whole draft and stuff. But nah,
pretty much.
Basically, this is the position group that stuck out like a sore thumb going into the 2023 season. Green Bay decided to address a lot of the other holes on its roster and sort of said, not a great class in the 2023 draft, so we'll kind of punt on it for a season, band-aid it as much as we can, and see what happens on the back end of it, literally and figuratively, but safeties. So have it in the notes here. And as Brian said, he enjoyed the number of lols that I had in this outline for today's podcast. But basically, looking at the 2024 roster situation, it's kind of throwing darts at the dartboard, and most of them fell out. So under contract, Anthony Johnson Jr. is the only player with, for lack of a better term, a true investment by the team at this point, because he is a draft pick.
Right.
I know that Benny Sapp III is a guy that they really like. Tyler Coyle is a guy they signed to a futures deal within the last 2 to 3 weeks, depending on when this gets aired. And Zane Anderson, the second lol on the list, because at least we, as Joe and I said, at least we know he exists. You know, he made a name for himself mostly on special teams, but you kind of saw his limitations as a cover safety when he came in for the blowout garbage time snaps against the Cowboys in the wild card round. And
when he actually had a play from scrimmage.
Didn't look as confident going in reverse as he does going in drive. So, he had some nice special teams tackles in that game, but just looked fish out of water, trying to cover from a deep post safety position. But free agents, obvious ones. It's Darnell Savage, Rudy Ford, and Owens. Basically, like I said, Green Bay went into the season with, you know, what they figured were lottery tickets and tried to see if anything would stick on the wall at that point. And one thing, and I'll give you the floor on this as to why, but let's get this out of the way before. I know a lot of people are kind of asking about it. Eric Stokes, not a safety conversion option. Go, Brian.
No, I mean, I've never even heard anybody bring that up. So I think that's kind of, if anybody brought that up, that's kind of weird. He's not a safety. I don't know. Like he doesn't play the run game. He doesn't really that great of a tackler. You know, he's not a safety.
And like, it's, you know, the people are kind of like, oh, but he's taller. It's like I said, not anyone super mainstream, but I have seen it asked and thrown around. But like you said, it's not like he has the requisite ball skills you'd want, where he's just kind of watching the quarterback all the time. He doesn't play physical or tackle in the run game. So they got to try. Basically, they have two routes. Just try, see what he can do at corner, or honestly, he might be a surprise deal at some point this offseason. His value is like in the tank right now, but basically that's it for him in terms of what his impact on the 2024 roster is going to be, is like, just see if another year removed from all the injuries he's had is going to do it, or just move on, you know, just punt and move on at this point. Because I know Matub kind of brought it up on reporting as eligible a few, like, back in January, but basically it's kind of sad to say this, but Stokes is sort of following in the footsteps of Kevin King in the fact where they're both, like, taller, you know, uber athletic tester kind of corners. King was actually the better tester when you look at, you know, like, if you just go off of their RAS cards, which I know you love to do, but, and then sort of lower body injuries. And, but for both, you know, well, definitely for King, and it's kind of looking like it, you know, hard to tell whether it was the hamstring or the, you know, the two surgery ops that he had in the offseason, but Stokes looked like a guy who had much diminished athleticism trying to, you know, come back in the middle of the 2023 season. So we'll kind of see, but like we said, you know, Green Bay looked at the 2023 draft class. It was not a deep or a very talented class at the top. You know, it's not like you had those two prospects that you're like, I'm going to swing for one of these guys. And, you know, like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. It wasn't a great class. And I think we both kind of agree that snagging Johnson, especially in the seventh round, was probably one of the best moves they could have made in the class, honestly, all things considered.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you account for the positions they did cover, you know, just totally reworking the receiver and tight end room. And they just took Johnson, who I thought had some decent flashes this season, but I kind of disagreed with how he was utilized. I didn't like that he kept getting thrown back on the bench too often when guys would come back from injury. It's the whole, like, are you trying to win this year, or do you want to see, like, if this guy is part of your future kind of thing? And, you know, safety is not apples to apples, but it's like quarterback, where there's only so much you can learn in practice, and the rest of it is reps, right? It's just reps. You got to see route combinations. You got to learn tackling angles. I mean, you know, something that Savage still struggles with, but those are the kind of things that, you know, just, I thought he should have gotten more chances this year. But anywho, moving into 2024, and Brian, I know that you, I'm going to give you the floor on this one. Slight scoop you might have had that you, if you're willing to share, on the Packers DC situation, or we can just go into the Packers, what they're looking for in the draft.
I mean, it's just, you know, like I said, you know, everybody's seen on Twitter, people were, they had heard that they had offered the DC job to the Denver cornerback coach. What was his name again? It's in my mind because there's all these guys who they
Christian, right?
Well, yeah, Christian. Yeah. He had been in Green Bay before, whatever. Yeah, and so the person I talked to, they said basically, yeah, that they're not sure exactly what happened. They said, yeah, that someone was under the impression that he was offered the job. Whether that's him on his side, I guess, because the person I talked to is locally sourced in Denver, basically. So maybe he thought he was offered the job, and there was miscommunication on their end, or maybe there was some sort of contingencies on the offer, and he didn't like the contingencies or something, or he's not sure. At this moment, he's looking into it to try to find out exactly what happened. But I guess it seems like both sides are moving on. You know, we'll see. They may circle back. Who knows? But really just in a, as they say, a waiting period right now, you know, just to find out what happened or what's going on.
Yeah, kind of interesting, because I mean, I was kind of intrigued by it because Parker seems like the kind of guy that, you know, he's untested, but that's sort of, honestly, I'm of the opinion that you've got to kind of go with the unknown a little bit. You've got to kind of roll the dice, because, you know, LaFleur's tried to, his two defensive coordinator hires or retain, whatever you want to call Pettine, he's sort of gone with the tried and true, like, proven sort of coordinator style. And because I know that the whole narrative behind that, a lot of the beat reporters have said, is he's looking for a guy that he can just hand the keys to the defense to and sort of say, like, go make it your own thing. But, you know, obviously the story with Barry is that, you know, LaFleur had to be way too involved and stuff. But in terms of what you're hoping to see the Packers do at DC, you know, just your quick, like, 2-minute synopsis, are you hoping kind of for the same as me, where it's like more of the unknown, more of someone who's willing to be multiple and scheme diverse, so to speak, or someone who's got, like, a set plan and kind of, like, will adjust but like sticks to it kind of thing.
No, like I think we talked about before too. Just like someone like like I like the Baltimore guys they've been interviewing just because they run that Baltimore offense, which is again like diverse and it's multiple, you know, it's aggressive, you know, it's they throw different things at you. So that's what I want, just something to basically like just take it to the offense more or less instead of being like passive. That's kind of what I would like to personally like to see. I think that's what's is showing to be effective in the NFL right now.
Yeah, because like I think you and I both agree that, you know, the way the game is played, it is like basketball on grass. You do need to have as many guys in coverage as you can on a given play, but also at the same time, you know, my biggest problem with Barry is like he always, you get to telegraph his intent and stuff. And the one I always point to is the Preston Smith in coverage, and not because it's Preston in coverage where he was actually honestly not terrible, but it's the fact that it's like if Green Bay is in its base defense and you're like, and you're the opposing offense, you're like, if I audible to a pass, whoever Preston is closest to, that guy is open. Like for all intents and purposes, that guy is open, because 99.5% of the time, Green Bay is going to drop one of their rushers and they're going to rush four and drop 7 inch coverage, and it's going to be Preston kind of thing and stuff. So, and like, yes, I get that it's not ideal to have like Rashawn not rushing or for, you know, like Devontae Wyatt or Kenny Clark dropping into coverage, but that's kind of the point of running a 3-4 front, is that you do have that, you know, ability to disguise and be multiple in your looks. And Barry basically ran his like a 4-3 under kind of scheme and didn't even really utilize the under man that much. So yeah, that's the big thing for me, is that just like you said, be less predictable. You don't have Devontae Adams lined up against Preston where it's like, trip him, just trip him, deal with the penalty and just lightly trip him or kick his foot into his other foot kind of thing. But
right.
Like I said, Green Bay doesn't have much at safety. They have Johnson Jr.
That's so good.
We have the Packers needs, but basically this is like the receiver room last year where they've just got to totally just remodel the whole thing. But in your opinion, do you think they're going to go with more of center field type, nickel dime flexibility? Obviously, getting a guy who can do all the above is great, but right. You know, if you had to prioritize, which way would you go and which way do you think the team will probably go?
Well, I think they'll take multiple stabs at it, of course. Because like we said, there's basically nobody in the roster. I'm assuming they'll probably either bring in an outside veteran or bring back a couple of the free agents. Maybe we'll see to fill up the room, so it's not just a room full of rookies and second year guys. But yeah, I mean, they definitely need someone that can play center field. The way they like to, of course, obviously depends on the DC. But generally the Packers, they like to have their safeties to be versatile, to be able to play in the box or back and over the top. I'd like to see them at least bring on somebody who can play over the top specifically. Just because he just got burned in the past a lot this past year. So,
yeah. And like, I think a lot of people think of like being able to play from depth in terms of like not getting beat over the top and stuff. But also, you need to have, you know, and we're kind of going to curtail this into, you know, athletic traits and preferences. But what you also have to account for is like, okay, you have a guy, you know, let's say like Rudy, who's not the, you know, he's fast in a straight line, but he's not the most agile or anything like that necessarily. So it's like, you can trust him to get depth, but it's like when he's supposed to read to come up in coverage, how long does it take him to read and react and stuff? So that's the other side. Or if you have a less athletic safety, like a Benny Sapp, and it's like, okay, like he's going to play for depth, but it's like, if there's a dig in front of him or a run play, it's like, how long does it take for him to get downhill kind of thing? So
right. In
terms of traits, where have Green Bay kind of fallen, you know, both in terms of the physical build and the athletic side of it on their safety prospects?
It's somewhat similar to like the corners, how they've always done. It's, but they like their safeties a little bit bigger than their corners, but generally speaking, they like their safeties around 5'11 or taller, and at least 200 pounds or close to 200 pounds, like 199, 198, something like that. And then they like the guy, you know, the guys have always had at least about 31 inch arms. If you go back through Ted Thompson, They had one guy who had under 31-inch arms. Everybody else had 31-inch arms or over. And then, of course, obviously high RS cards. They got to have those green cards. going back through Ted, like they've only had a couple guys that didn't have score very high on the RS. They've all been high. You know, and they like guys have agility, like I said, and like guys, like I said, just guys who are quick and, you know, good speed and stuff like that.
Just to translate for people who don't understand, like the agility drills, kind of like we were talking about, you know, it's that, as they call it, click and close and all that kind of stuff. But the arm length, you know, I think a lot of fans don't understand like where those measurements come into play necessarily. So like, can you just give a quick dive into, you know, T-Rex versus having like, you know, Giannis arms kind of thing?
Well, it's a pass game thing. Obviously it's being able to get your hands on the balls, interceptions or knocking balls away, you know, even being able to, you know, like as the ball's coming in, the receiver's got his hands out, he's trying to catch it. You can get your arms in there, rake the ball away or knock his hands away. Being able to, it helps getting off blocks, you know, because if your arms are really short and a wide receiver is blocking you, it's more difficult to get off the block a lot of times. So, you know, it helps with that. You know, even in the, like, yeah, in the run game too, same thing in the run game, being able to get off blocks in the run game and stuff like that too, and being able to reach, you know, being able to reach like running backs and whatever when you're trying to tackle and stuff like that.
So just for fun off of this, anyone that you already seen kind of floated around Green Bay that you're like, for a reason X or Y, that's just like, probably not unless Goot is willing to break tendencies pretty big kind of thing for the safety room?
There's a few guys, actually. there's always a bunch of guys, like, you know, it's funny. There's always a bunch of guys that fans want. And I'm like, you're like, no, that's not the type of guy they're going to take. but even like it kind of like back to what I said before, the type of safeties they like to go after is they generally don't like the box safety type of guys. So not even just from a physical ability standpoint, it's like even just like a skill set thing too.
And that's why honestly Jones was kind of a weird pick, because it was like he was a box in college, but you're like, oh, he's so like, maybe he can do it, yeah, kind of thing. So, like, you have to have something like that, and all. So, yeah. Sorry, continue. Just had to throw that in.
Yeah. No worries. But honestly, a guy like Cole Bishop, he doesn't really fit their style. Like I said, unless they bring in some DC out of nowhere that likes that type, like box safety type of guys, which I don't think they will. But especially if you look at the guys they've interviewed, the DCs. But yeah, like a cool guy like Cole Bishop, who's basically he's just going to play in the box. That's his thing. You know, they can cover some tight ends, some running backs here and there, but he's pretty much just going to play in the box. Like that's not really their type of guy. Even his teammate, Sione Vaki, I think he's a little more versatile, but I think he's still more of a kind of a box guy. I don't know if I would say I think he's completely off their board, but I think he's kind of like on that edge type of thing, you know, where it's like, he's probably not on their board.
I think the leg up Vaki has on Bishop is you saw him, Utah used him in more roles. Like he wore more hats in college. So you've kind of seen him do more things than Bishop did. Whereas Bishop was more of like, they used him as like a Hoover vacuum cleaner kind of player in the middle of the field. But yeah, no, good, great points. Anyone else that sticking out to you right now, or we can kind of
the class? Those guys also, they tend to like not to like the guys that are like the corner safety hybrid type of guys, like the guys that they're not really a corner, they're not really safety, you know, they're kind of both. Like they can play some slot, but they're not really both. They tend to stay away from those guys. Like for example, like I think like a guy like Javon Bullard, I think he's not really gonna be their type. Plus his arms are shorter. He was just measured recently under 31-inch arms, or even a guy like his teammate Tyke Smith, I think it's pronounced. He's probably off their board, or Malik Mustafa from Wake Forest is probably off their board. Because Malik Mustafa again is another box guy, and he was measured under 5'10". So, those guys are probably off their board.
Yeah. So, going into this class, I know who your top guy is, but just overall in terms of where this class sits, much better than 2023, right?
Yeah, it's not like what we would prefer. Just with the guys going back, you know, at that NIL and all that stuff, like your boy Rod Moore, those guys deciding to go back for one more year, it kind of killed like the depth of the class, but it's still better than last year's.
Yeah. So, both in terms of, like you said, it didn't end up as deep, but in terms of how I'm looking at, there's more guys that not necessarily Brown one, there's maybe one guy who I know is your guy, but and also I do like him a lot, but there's more guys that, you know, last year I did the safety episode with Nick and Joe, and we waffled a lot in terms of, like, none of us liked the same guy as our top guy, and like the one who liked him was like, I would take him day two, and the other two of us would be like, I don't know about that kind of thing, but just in terms of, like, I feel like this class has more guys that I'd be comfortable with. Like, if Green Bay announces the pick and you're like, it's a safety, it's like, it's not just like, oh my God, they had to get one. It's like, oh no, like, I actually do like that prospect. Or like you said, as long as it falls within, that's where kind of hiring a DC sooner than later, just so we kind of get an idea of what to expect from his scheme to be. Obviously they're going to get that done well in advance of the draft, because there's no way they're going into April without a DC or anything like that. But just kind of, like you said, it clears up a lot of the picture in terms of, you know, we have a good idea of what Green Bay needs and wants to get out of its safeties, but the DC will answer a lot of questions in terms of like how they're going to be utilized and all. But so day one options, you have the floor.
There's basically one. It's just Cameron Kitchens from Miami. I think he's probably going to be universally seen as a top safety in the class. Because, you know, like we've talked about it before. He can basically do it all. He can cover. He can play the run. He can blitz even. They've used him in the slot. He can basically do everything. The only thing I would say, he's just not elite anything. But he's just really, 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 really good at everything. Right. If he was elite, he probably would probably be a top 15 pick. But because he's not super fast, he's fast enough.
Not going to run a ha-ha time. Yeah.
No. I mean, like, I'm from watching his film, I'm projecting him run like a 4.55 or like 4.4.
Yeah.
Like low 4.5s, basically, like 4.55, 4.54.
If he has a good day, he might crack the high 4.4s kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like that's only his real physical weakness. I mean, he's not huge, but he's got decent size. He's 5'11". He measured the Senior Bowl about 5'11", 206. You know, he's got decent arm length, 31 inches. But I think it's his range that's his biggest asset. His range is ball skills.
And then just on top of that, I feel like he has pretty darn good instincts. Like you said, the sum of the whole is definitely greater than the sum of the parts of his game, in my opinion, because and that's like, I know a lot of people are going to say like, so you're saying that you like just like him and that's why he's a day one pick. But when you're in the range, Green Bay is locked at the 25th pick at this point, because they made the playoffs and made it to the divisional round. And at that point of the draft, like you said, that's where you're getting into this range of like a safety like Kitchens, who, he's not the dynamic athlete that's going to push him into the top half of the first round, but he does everything you want, has the eye discipline and the skill set that you want on a guy who can roam the deep half or can come up and play more of a rover position.
Right.
The million-dollar question that every Packers fans wants to know about their safeties: how is his tackling?
He's good. He's not perfect. I mean, there are other safeties in the class that are better. But I mean, I don't think it's going to be an issue. He'll miss a tackle here and there, but it's not something that, like, when you're watching him, like, coming up for a tackle, you're like, is he going to make the tackle? Is he going to miss it? You're like, nervous to see him make a tackle.
Type of thing. I've said that, you know, I still do hope they bring him back. I don't know if it's in the cards or if it's, you know, if it's only a short, but I do hope they bring Darnell back, because I think a more creative defensive coordinator would be able to utilize him better. But that is something where it's like, is Darnell going to use his arms? Is Darnell going to shoot behind the guy? Is he, oh God, his angle already looks terrible from when he comes on the screen and stuff like that. So, exactly. And I do think that Packers fans need to like readjust their expectations for how well a safety is supposed to tackle, because like the game is so different from, because I think everyone forgets, like Nick Collins, who was an awesome, tremendous player, he missed tackles every, like,
oh, yeah.
He and Charles Woodson, if you rewatch that NFC Championship game against the Bears, the two of them combined for two of the most baffling, terrible missed tackles on the Bears' final touchdown of that game, where, like, Collins missed so bad that Woodson couldn't believe he missed so bad that, like, Woodson didn't try to tackle the guy. So, and I'm not saying, like, Collins is terrible or, like, to excuse missed tackles, but it's like,
right,
from the safety position, they're going to happen, because that's just geometry and, you know, physics, because you're coming from 20 yards away and you know, there's no love lost in using the term, they're the last line of defense. And
right.
Like, yeah, you wanted to see a guy like Savage get better over his career, but at the same time, it's like, you've got to declare, you have to make something happen. And sometimes the other guy is just a better athlete or has a little more leverage than you. So
yeah.
I throw that out there as a fun bone, but I do think Kitchens is more than a good enough tackler for what Green Bay would ask him and want him to do. So Green Bay is going to have two picks in the second round and two picks in the third round. So if Kitchens goes off the board, or if there's an edge or something that they just absolutely can't pass up, who are the guys you're looking at in the day two range that intrigue you and how they would fit in Green Bay?
There's Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. He's more of that true free safety center fielder. The only drawback is he's kind of an average-ish, slightly above average athlete. So he's going to go somewhere probably around two, just because, again, like the class got kind of hit kind of hard by some of the guys going back. But he's probably like a round two guy anyway. But like he's similar to Kitchens in the way he's got range, he's got ball skills and stuff like that. He's just like a little less of an athlete. But he's still more of that true like center fielder, over the top type of guy. Another one I like, Keaton Oladapo from Oregon State. He's early in his career, he was kind of more of a box safety, but he really developed a lot in the cover skills. And where I think if he had came out like say 2 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, Green Bay's probably not gonna take him. But because his cover skills have improved a lot, especially this past year, I think he definitely would be a type of guy that the Packers would be interested in.
Anyone that you're in your head, you're like, please, someone else take him before Green Bay picks. Please take him before summer. Not because Green Bay wouldn't, but like, you know, and I know this is an extreme, but like an Amari kind of pick, or where it's like you're like super marginal. They're super marginal, and it like Goot might just take him kind of guy a little too early.
Trying to think. Nobody in particular. I think I'm just trying to think. Maybe Malachi Moore from Alabama, maybe. Yeah, I mean, other than some of the guys I mentioned earlier that I don't think are going to be on their board anyway.
Right, right.
In that like day two, like, you know, early day three range, that's the only one I can think of really offhand, other than the guys I mentioned. Right. Yeah, but actually, one more guy I do want to mention that I think they're taking that day two range would be Bo Braid from Maryland.
Oh yeah,
yeah, he's kind of like your do it all safety. You know, again, like not great at anyone's thing particular, but he's just good at everything.
I think if you're curious about like what kind of guy he is, just watch like his Michigan film from this year. He played really physical against Michigan's run game. He kind of was, after Michigan like just kind of went down the field and trucked Maryland on their opening scoring drive, he was one of the guys who like really mucked up Michigan's run game, just was kind of being that end guy on the line of scrimmage, and was just he was doing a good job setting some physical edges for them. So and also he has like good coverage skills. He's able to, like you said, more of a jack of all trade guy, but right. I did come away very impressed with his game. And also one of those, like, just the cautionary tale, don't scout the helmet. Like,
yeah, he's not Darnell Savage.
Does he wear the same number? Because what is he? Is he four?
He wears two. He wears number two.
Okay. So, yeah. I was like, that would have been really...
This year, I think before he wore like a number in the teens or something like that, or low 20s.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah,
yeah, so that's your number two.
So. I know a lot of guys switching numbers and throwing me off these past.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying constantly switching numbers. Wait, who is this? Like, what number is he wearing? Okay, which is it? Is it 2022 film or 2023 film we're watching? Okay, yeah. Which number is he wearing that season?
At least my guy Rod Moore had the decency to keep the same last digit. So he went from 19 to 9. He didn't do no like 28 to 4 or something like that. Where you're like, wait, what? But and then okay, and then into day three, like say Kitchens is off the board, or even better, they get Kitchens in round one. But right. Like you said, they do need to, you know, Johnson I think could be a player, but it's hard to rely on seventh round picks. Who are some guys that are like, maybe they're just going to be athletic flyer. You know, like if you took Josh Jones in round four or round five, I wouldn't have minded because it's like, sure, take the guy with the elite athleticism and see if you can teach him how to football. But any of those kind of guys or any guys that you just think fit better into the day three picture that you like?
Yeah, there's a few guys like, I like Evan Williams from Oregon. He was at Fresno State before. He's again kind of more of another kind of do-it-all type of guy. You know, can play the run, can play the pass. He can blitz a little bit and stuff like that. Got good size. He's like 5'11", 202 or something like that. He was measured at the Senior Bowl. What else? Mark Perry from TCU. I kind of like him. I still want to see him, how he does in coverage and stuff like that, and one-on-ones and stuff. I got to see that more. But he's got, I think Perry's got the athleticism to play in Green Bay. Who else? I think that's, yeah, maybe Kenny Logan from Kansas, but I don't know. He didn't play that well. Well, let me rephrase that. He was pretty terrible in 2022. This year he played a little bit better, but he still wasn't playing at the level he was in, like, I think it was 2021. He had a really good year. Yeah, and the 2022 was just crap. But it's better, but still not where he was. It's like I said, 2021. And then another guy that I kind of think can be a little sleeper is Dijon Anthony from Ole Miss. He's played some slot and stuff like that too, so he has that experience where he could possibly play corner or at least slot position or whatever. Another guy I like, though, also Dadron Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech.
He's been a darling of the postseason bowl market, but no, he does have good movement skills. He really does look like he flips his hips really well out there. So that's what you do want out of a safety who has to recover in coverage. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm just not sure exactly how how's Green Bay is going to see him, because he measured at 5'10" even, and then he was like just under 200 pounds, he was like almost 190, he was 189 or whatever, and his arms were a little short, like 30 inches, something like that. So I'm not sure if maybe Green Bay sees him a slot, maybe they still take him, I don't know, or maybe they don't. I'm not sure. He's kind of on that borderline, potentially off the board, potentially on the board type area.
All right. I don't have it on here, but just wanted to let you have some fun with this. Cooper DeJean, not a safety conversion guy, or would you like him better as a safety than as a corner? You like him overall as a prospect, but yeah.
Yeah, and like I've talked about before, like he's it depends on the system he goes to, but I think most NFL systems will see him as like a safety slot type of player. Unless he goes to like a cover three type team, then he could probably play corner. But just, yeah, the stuff you see in films where you're like, I don't know, that's not going to play a corner in the NFL. If it's like some stuff with his quickness and his ability to flip his hips and stuff like that, you're just like,
It's not the same stuff, but it's kind of like some of the same red flags with Josh Jackson that like all happened to kind of come true in the NFL, where like, is it because he's able to play in that off coverage in college? And, you know, does that translate to the pros? You know, what happens when you get into the contact zone? And like you said, with DeJean, you know, Jackson tested pretty well relatively. His speed at least did. I know his agility wasn't that great. But DeJean, from that point of view, it's kind of a similar idea where it's like, is he going to be able to mirror, you know, as much as everyone's like, oh, but it's zone or it's off man or whatever. But even more so, that's where you have to be able to mirror as receivers. Right. Close that distance with you from coverage. So yeah, that's kind of where I feel too, is it's like, I would prefer him as like a safety, but also there's like Kitchens. I do like him way better as a, cause like you said, it's, you don't want to be taking a guy that early that you're like, he's got to play a totally different position than he played in college, right, kind of thing. So, yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, there was some interesting stuff I saw on film. I remember watching, it was, I think it was 2021 film. There was like a game where like they had some injuries at linebacker or something, and they were playing like almost like a pseudo linebacker, and he looked actually pretty good. Like, I don't think I'm not saying he's going to be a linebacker in the NFL, but there was, like I said, just some interesting, you know, clips of him as playing like a pseudo linebacker or kind of overhang defender.
Right. The part that I really like I said, the parts of his game that I think do translate well to like moving him to safety would be his ball skills, awareness, and like you said, just the ability to play at linebacker. I know they probably spent the whole week coaching him up, but that's, you know, duck out of water kind of thing. And it shows that he has the ability to, you know, read what's in front of him and, you know, just break down what's happening and make the right, you know, the right reads, attack the right hole and stuff like that. So those are the kind of things where you're like, he could, you know, make that transition to safety, but also how high are you willing to draft a guy where you're like, you're going to play him at a totally different position than what he's coming in from. So, yeah, just had to throw that one out there. And I'm sure Joe is going to cut our feed pretty soon for speaking such dastardly things about his Hawkeye, but no.
Yeah, but Joe is going to be an Iowa State fan soon.
Oh, no.
Jeff Anthony Johnson Jr.
Yeah. All year it was like pulling teeth, like, play the Cyclone. But, no, awesome, awesome stuff. Brian, anything else you wanted to go over? The class, the Packers, maybe just any free agents that kind of stuck out to you that they might throw? I know they're not going to have a lot of money, and, you know, it's going to be kind of contingent on, like, do they June 1st? That's the thing is, like, they could June 1st Devondre Campbell, but you don't get the money till June 1st. You know, do they – I think they'll, like, extend Kenny, maybe extend Jones or something like that. But anyone on that, like, kind of secondary safety market, like, you know, Julian Love equivalent, where I think Love got, like, $5 million to play with the Seahawks last season. Mm-hmm. Anyone that kind of fits that bill that you have an eye on in this free agent class?
Honestly, I haven't even looked at the free agent safeties. I mean, I know that, like, Winfield is his free agent, but they're not going to be able to afford him.
No.
And despite what some people have said, I really don't see any way they're going to be able to afford Geno Stone either. You know, led NFL interceptions this year. Those guys, when they're, you know, when you look, when there's some guy who, like, has some sort of big year like that, like leads NFL interceptions or at least close to it or whatever, and then he's a free agent, like, the guy always cashes in. Like, it always happens, you know. From Packaday. Andy.
Oh,
I think he was like, oh yeah, I think it was Andy. I can't remember for sure, but I think in a podcast, he was like, oh yeah, I think Geno Stone might get just like okay money because it's just his first year of like big production. And I was like,
that's not how teams, there's too many bad front offices.
I'm going to see that interception number and then they're just going to just throw the cash, you know?
Yeah. And yeah. There's just no way. Like, I'm willing to be pleasantly surprised, but like you said, there too many bad front offices, too much production.
Teams with like loads of cap space. They need to spend it.
Yeah,
you got the cap floor where you have to spend a certain amount. So,
yeah, exactly. So, Brian, anything else you got, or anything you want to plug, or you have the floor? Please take it, run with it, do whatever you want with it at this point.
Not much else. I mean, other just my, like I said, I mean, we're getting to draft season, so I'm going to be super busy. But yeah, just basically the stuff you said earlier. Like, I got my draft database. That's if anyone wants to check it out, that's the links in my my bio, my Twitter bio. You know, I got players in there up until like all the way down to like, you know, true freshmen and stuff like that. So you know how to keep an eye on guys for the future. You know, like I said, and then also of course the Chiefs TV draft guide I'm going to be doing. The interior defensive lineman, and then I'm also have a feature article in it as well. What else? Just whatever. I got some articles I got to write for ATV soon because I haven't read anything in a while. my And of course, like you said, my my YouTube channel, The Packer Way, that's out there. My most recent videos were guys that are at the Senior Bowl to keep an eye on that would fit the Packers, because since they like the Senior Bowl guys.
Yeah. So, no, really appreciate you coming on, Brian. I know that, you know, we kind of fit into that weird time zone where I'm like available and you're about, you just drop the kids off and stuff and heading on your way for your day. So just really thank you for making the time in your day, coming on with us, talking. As like I said, we could talk all day, and I know you're going to be invited back to our draft cast and stuff like that, but Joe is somewhere waiting to terminate this feed, but just wanted to say thanks. And like I said, and like Brian just kind of went back into, check out his YouTube page, The Packer Way, check out his ATB draft, you know, during the season he was putting out, like, you know, his four prospects I like kind of articles. I'm sure that he'll be doing, dropping little tidbits like that, you know, in the next 3 months as we lead up to draft time. And check out Go Dads Go. It's always a fun time. I always enjoy how real you are with it, that it's like, hey, I've got my real life and you're going to hear my kids in the background kind of thing. I appreciate that angle.
That's actually usually Robin's son. That's usually Robin's son here in the background. Yeah, he homeschools him, so that's little Ricky you hear in the background.
Oh, okay, right on. But no, love it, love the stuff you guys do with Gilbert, the three of you. It's like the embodiment of when keeping it real is good from the Chappelle Show. So I love it, and just check it out. Wait for and when it comes draft time, I know Brian will be dropping little nuggets about the guys that Green Bay drafts and, you know, guys that are available as we move from day to day of the draft and all. So thank you, Brian. And he is at BMAFI, BMAAFI. I am at Kawano Mike. We are still going on with the drawing, so I believe I have to check with Joe. I think we might have crossed the 230 mark, so Joe will have to get on his randomizer to draw the first winner of the signed John Kuhn photo. And when we get to 523, he will be doing the same thing for the signed Jaire Alexander. But to do that, you have to be following the pod's Twitter account, at @Ohana_Packers. Also, check out our website, ohanapackers.org. Who knows? Brian might be writing something every once in a blue moon for us at some point, but I know he's got his other stuff to get on, but no pressure, Brian. thank you for following
me. Maybe I'll write up some players, some Hawaii players or something.
Unfortunately, Steve McBride went back to school, so damn it. No, we don't get to have the Will Goot draft a 160-pound wide receiver. But that's going to do it for us today. Please follow the podcast on your favorite podcasting apps. Give us a like and a subscribe if you're enjoying what you're hearing. Whether or not you're enjoying what you're hearing, please give us comment feedback. We do appreciate any feedback because we want to put out the content you enjoy. That's going to do a wrap on our safety preview for the 2024 NFL Draft. Again, thank you, Brian, for joining us today. I want to wish you a Go Pack Go and aloha.